At 12:16 a.m. on Wednesday, June the 5th, 1968, Senator Robert F. Kennedy was shot and mortally wounded in the kitchen service pantry of the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles. A little over 24 hours later, he was pronounced dead. On the 50th anniversary of that assassination, the award-winning investigative journalists Tim Tate and Brad Johnson have uncovered the true story of the assassination of Robert F. Kennedy, and we discuss that now with one of them, Tim Tate. Good morning, Tim. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Wow, this is right from the you-couldn't-make-this-up archive, isn't it, really, this story about Robert F. Kennedy?
It is a long, strange story, and it's taken my colleague Brad and I 25 years to tell it in total, though we've both made documentary films in that same period. But it has been a long haul.
Yes, I mean one man had it basically pinned on him. He was a 24-year-old Palestinian immigrant, Sirhan Bishara Sirhan, and he was the guy that they claimed did the deed, but you have discovered, I think, otherwise.
Well, I think we need to be clear. Sirhan was in the kitchen pantry, and he was caught not just with a smoking gun, but firing a smoking gun.
Right.
Absolutely no question yes. that Sirhan fired his weapon. It was an 8-shot revolver, and he emptied it in the kitchen pantry that night. Unfortunately, the problem with it is that the evidence suggesting that he shot Kennedy just doesn't work.
Mm.
There were five other people wounded in that shooting, all of whom I think Sirhan almost certainly was responsible for. But Kennedy was shot, according to the autopsy, from a distance of 3 inches behind his right ear. So shot from behind at 3 inches distance.
Right.
Sirhan never got closer than 3 feet and was always in front of Kennedy. Now, simple physics tells you that a man in front of his victim, or his alleged victim, can't suddenly sneak round the back and shoot him from behind the head.
Sure. Sure. Tell us a little about Sirhan. What placed him in the kitchen at the time? Who is he and why was he there?
He was as you say, a 24-year-old Palestinian immigrant. He had been in the country with his family for several years. He'd come over to escape the fighting in Israel. He was born and lived in Israel as a Palestinian Arab. He had been in the U.S. in the Los Angeles area for most of his adolescence and early adult life. Had been entirely unremarkable, an unremarkable student, had no criminal record, and was a distinctly unlikely political assassin.
And this is where the tale takes a really bizarre kind of tales of the unexpected twist as to why he was there with that gun.
He had been out and about during the day and went to the Ambassador Hotel for the victory party. Bobby Kennedy, as you say, had just won the California Democratic primary.
Yeah.
That put him on course, but didn't guarantee him the nomination for the Democratic Party in the presidential election, and had he got that, he would have faced off in the general election against Richard Nixon.
Right. Okay.
The party, the Ambassador Hotel, was hosting political parties, victory celebration parties, for a number of campaigns, and in those days, it was very, very, very easy just to wander into them.
Okay.
The security that we associate with it now just wasn't there. Indeed, Bobby Kennedy had no police protection or Secret Service protection.
Mm-hmm.
Sirhan wanders in there, has a few drinks, and decides that he's going to leave and go drive home, but then realizes when he gets back to his car that he's actually a bit too drunk to drive, so goes back in to get a cup of coffee.
Right.
And at that point, and this much is his own version of events, which has never changed for the last 50 years, and appears to be supported by vast quantities of documentary evidence collected by the Los Angeles Police Department, he met a mysterious woman.
Okay.
And she was wearing a polka dot dress. And for anyone who knows anything about this case, the girl in the polka dot dress is something of a recurring mystery figure.
Yeah.
Sirhan has a cup of coffee with this girl in the polka dot dress, and that is the last thing he remembers.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing he actively remembers is being in the pantry and a lot of people jumping on top of him, trying to wrestle the gun from his hand. Now, a lot of people, and you know, I'm as cynical as the next journalist, would say, well, you know, yes, he would say that, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
But there has been an entire battery of tests, psychological, psychiatric tests, by both prosecution and defense and independent experts, all of whom say this amnesia is absolutely genuine. More to the point, it was created. Somebody pro-hypnotized him and programmed him to shoot his gun and then forget that he had done so. And at that point, everyone's going to say, as I said when I first came across this, that's nonsense.
Yeah.
You can't do this. Unfortunately, you can. All the scientific evidence shows that it not just is possible, but that it has happened. And as you say, in a sort of Tales of the Unexpected twist, what we discovered, and others have discovered before it, but we reproduce the documents themselves, there was and had been a program, an official U.S. agency program, inevitably the Central Intelligence Agency, to create what it called a hypno-programmed robot assassin.
Amazing.
Not my words, its words. And we reproduce all their documents about all the experiments that they carried out to create someone who would assassinate a political figure and then have no memory of doing so.
Good grief.
And we also reproduce the documents in which they said, we made this work.
Oh, that's, I mean, I'm a big conspiracy theorist, if you can call it a conspiracy theory, and this one is right up there. I suppose the obvious question is, why bother?
Well, the first thing I'd say is that neither Brad nor I are conspiracy theorists.
Okay.
We don't like conspiracy theories. But I think we do need to draw a distinction between conspiracy theories and conspiracies.
Yes.
Conspiracy theories are basically free-floating, or that could have happened, or I reckon that happened. It's a theory. It's my hypothesis. Conspiracies are things, essentially, it's two or more people getting together to agree to do something illegal or immoral.
Yeah.
And conspiracies happen.
Yeah.
9/11 was the result of a criminal conspiracy.
Mm.
Watergate was a conspiracy. We don't say that conspiracies don't happen. We just have to be careful about conspiracy theories.
Yep.
And what I think, and Brad thinks, differentiates what we've done is we've said we're not interested in theories. We're not interested in hypothesizing or saying, well, this could have happened. What we're saying is, here's the evidence. Here are the documents. And the book says, this is where you can find the documents, down to the very last page number, if you want to check the work that we've done.
Right.
And we've said, that's the evidence. Have a look at it. The evidence points this way. But what we argue for is for a full, proper, honest, and transparent official inquiry.
And if it was the CIA, as is thought, who organised this, what is the point of it? Why would they organise the killing of Robert F. Kennedy?
Well, I think we have to remember what Kennedy was and was standing for and represented during that campaign. He had, after his brother's death, after the assassination of John Kennedy, he'd gone through what some people called a wilderness period.
Mm.
It was, in fact, a sort of education period in which he went around the world and went around the US talking to people, discovering the reality of life. And I went through a lot of his speeches in those 2 or 3 years prior to him, the 68 election. And one word sticks out: revolution. Bobby Kennedy talked about revolution, and he talked about America being a revolutionary country, which, of course, it was. He wanted not just a social, economic, and racial justice revolution. he wanted to end the Vietnam War instantly. It was not going to be a phase that's wear this down. It was, no, we've had enough. This isn't working. He had also made enemies, real enemies, in organized crime. In fact, what the book we show in the book is that Los Angeles Police Department were given specific details of three conspiracies by organized crime, the mafia, to assassinate Kennedy should he win the California primary.
Right.
And we also draw the threads together and say, odd as it may sound, there was a long-standing and historic association between some of the major figures in organized crime and the CIA. Again, I want to stress, we're not saying this is the solution. We're saying this is the evidence. This is where it points.
Of course, the irony of all of this is that it's almost history repeating itself, isn't it? In a way, because it could be said that many people would agree that the US government engaged in a systematic cover-up of the truth of John F. Kennedy.
Well, that was the conclusion of the House Committee on Assassinations, which, that's the Congressional Committee on Assassinations, which, it's largely the conclusion, which considered the John F. Kennedy and the Martin Luther King case. What we point out is that of those three major assassinations, John F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and Robert Kennedy in the 60s, the only one which was never considered by an official inquiry was the Robert Kennedy assassination.
Interesting. And Sirhan himself, as you said, has not changed his story for 50 years. So it's not like he's broken down in jail and said, OK, fair enough, this is what happened.
No, I mean, to be absolutely accurate, Sirhan did, during the trial, jump up and down and say, I did it. And he did it in, I think, a fit of pique. Certainly the judge refused to accept it. Other than that, his story has not changed for 50 years. I don't remember, he says. I'm really sorry it happened, and if I did it, I'm terribly sorry. But I don't remember this. And he remains in jail, in prison. He is routinely denied parole, because he's caught in a catch-22.
Yes.
And the catch-22 is, if you can't remember it, if you say you can't remember doing this, you cannot be truly remorseful, and if you're not truly remorseful, we won't let you out.
If you buy into this, then all bets are off, aren't they? I mean, we're talking here about Manchurian Candidate, aren't we? The movie, people who've seen that, what was that term for brainwashed assassins? If we believe it happened 50 years ago, then, good Lord, it kind of opens the floodgates for all kinds of theories, doesn't it?
Well, again, if we believe it happened is a perfectly reasonable thing to say. What I would encourage everyone to do is to look at the CIA's own documents. We reproduce them, but these days you can buy them from the CIA for $10 should you want to check, and we tell you where to get them from.
Wow.
It shows not just that they set out to do this. These documents show this is how they did it, where they did it, with whom they did it, and how they perfected it.
Wow. Absolutely incredible. Well, it's fascinating. I had no idea that this stuff existed, and your book has really kind of made me think twice about quite a lot of things, I've got to say. The Assassination of Robert F. Kennedy. We thank you, Tim, and your co-author, Brad, for uncovering this true story. And I guess it's watch this space, but do you think anything will ever change? Do you think we'll ever see any further investigation, or do you think that's kind of never going to happen?
I think there's certainly an unanswerable case for a new investigation, because I think, as the book shows, Los Angeles police deliberately covered this up. In fact, they suppressed the documents for 20 years. What we say is, and other people say, is the only way that will happen is if enough people write to their congressman, write to their senator, put pressure and say, this needs to be looked at. All the evidence needs to be properly dealt with.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Again, Tim, thank you so much for coming on and talking about that. I'm sure it's got our listeners thinking very hard indeed. I really appreciate your time today.
Thanks very much for having me.
Cheers, Tim. All the best.